It's 11 o'clock in the morning. It is. It's time for the Otway Health Check on 3 ABR. And a little earlier in the day, I was chatting to Joy Humphreys, who's on the board at Otway Health. However, and we have a recording of that interview to play for you. However, we do have a minor technical issue. So I'll play some music and we'll be right back with Joy Humphreys on the Otway Health Check. I could listen to Harry Manx all day, but we have better fish to fry. This is the Otway Health Check, brought to you by Otway Health, and Ali Rodder's in the chair.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm good. Well. Back's good. A bit twanged, but otherwise it's all right.
That's no good. We might help you up there if you like, if it gets
that
bad.
Well, it could be someone. No, won't be getting that bad. No. We know what to do.
Pity about the weather. What happened to summer here in Apollo Bay?
Look, people say that a lot, and and it does happen at this time of year. We do get a bit of wet and a bit of cool just before the serious heat sets in after Christmas.
Does it really get seriously hot here?
Oh, yes, from time to time. Yeah. Although it is generally in summer a little cooler and in winter a little warmer than it is in Melbourne.
Well, having spent one winter here, I wouldn't have called it a little warmer. compared to Adelaide, it was freezing.
Oh, compared to Adelaide. Yes. Well.
Nice Mediterranean climate in Adelaide.
That's a world of its own.
Yeah, but you know, talking about the heat coming. Mm. And 2 weekends ago, it was really lovely and warm. Mm. And I had a friend staying down with me from Bendigo. And she went for a walk along the beach, along the running path there. And guess what she saw?
Well,
a snake.
Oh, a snake.
A snake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the snakes are coming out.
Okay.
I don't know if they've gone back in at the moment with the weather the way it is, but the snakes are actually active now. Well, so we're gearing up for the summer season when these snakes, tiger snakes especially, and brown snakes, of course, when they're on the move.
Well, and when it gets, because the weather, the sun is their regulator, when it's cooler, they don't move so quickly.
No.
They hear you coming or feel you coming and get out of your way. But if you come across one now, it'll be slow.
I think probably I'm very much in danger of having a heart attack if I see a snake. So if I get bitten all at the same time, I'm in big strife. Mm. So what we're doing is starting to really think about snake bites and some of the things that happen over summer and starting to prepare our staff for that. So, but it's always a good idea to warn the community about what to do with a snake bite. And the Royal Flying Doctor has put out a whole report, and I got it off the internet the other day. If you just Google Flying Doctor, it'll give you all the advice that you need. I didn't realise there were about 3,000 reported snake bites each year in Australia, and about 500 of those actually end up in hospital.
Really?
Yeah. The most common bite is from a brown snake, and they're highly venomous. They can kill you in half an hour, followed by the tiger snake. So 41% were brown snakes, tiger snakes 17%, and the red-bellied black snake 16%.
They're pretty nasty too. But they're mostly up in the north, I think.
I think down here you've got the brown snakes and the tiger snakes.
Tigers and
you?
Browns and copperheads. Yeah. We have the odd copperhead. We do.
Oh, God. I probably wouldn't even notice. I'd be that terrified. I hate the things. But interesting, three quarters of the people bitten are males in their 30s.
Mm.
And I don't know why.
Well, I do. I can tell you why.
Why? Because
they're trying to kill them.
Yes, probably.
Yeah, they're trying to chase them. Yeah.
Yeah. Most snake attacks occur near houses, not in the bush. And half of all bites occurred while people are out walking and gardening or even trying to catch a snake. So, you know, watch out for your kids that like to maybe do that sort of thing. And also your animals, you know, dogs and cats try and kill snakes as well.
They do.
And that can have fatal results from them. and the bites are often painless and they can go unnoticed, actually, until you start getting the signs and symptoms. So let's look at the common symptoms. Should you collapse for unexplained reason, start vomiting, have abdominal pain, or start bleeding, or start feeling as though you're becoming paralysed? They're some of the symptoms of envenomation.
They're all symptoms you get late on Friday night at the pub.
True. that could prove interesting diagnosis, couldn't it? Yeah. I'm sure Barwon Health would be really happy if we sent them
people start rolling up from the pub at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Look, folks, if you are worried about snake bite, there's some first aid that you can do that will dramatically influence the outcome. First of all, do not even attempt to wash the snake bite, because the venom that hangs around the skin, if you wash it off, then it's very hard to detect it. We've got envenomation kits.
Okay.
And so you just swab the area,
yeah.
And these kits will tell you what kind of snake it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you might not see the snake,
mm.
but we can, with a kit, identify which snake it was. And then we know the correct antivenin to give. So don't wash it. And I think we all saw the old cowboy Western movies where bitten by a rattlesnake, they cut it, they suck out the venom, suck out the blood.
Yeah, yeah.
No, don't do that. Not a good idea. And don't apply a high tourniquet. Do you remember those old days? Mm-hmm. Said, you know, tie a tourniquet around it, stop the venom getting up to the heart.
Mm.
Don't do that either. They're ineffective, but also once released, you can get this big rush of venom into the circulation, so that can be fatal. So don't do that either. What they recommend is to really bandage the area very firmly, start at the area of the bite, and then bandage up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been bitten on your calf, bandage from the calf right up to the top of the leg. Really, really firmly, as firm as you can possibly get it, without cutting off your blood supply, because we don't want to do that.
Yep.
and then just leave it. Splint the leg or splint the area.
So
don't move. Try and keep very still.
Yeah.
Don't walk or whatever. Limit movement. And as I said, splint, stretcher, hospital.
Yep.
Get to hospital as soon as possible. And I can tell you, if you come to Otway Health, to our urgent care unit, and we suspect that it is a snake bite, you'll be straight in an ambulance off to Barwon Health, because we don't have the pathology, we don't have the testing kits or anything like that. And you really do need to find out what is actually going on.
Yep.
And even if you haven't got any signs and symptoms, for 24 hours, they'll still keep you in hospital just to wait and see, because sometimes a snake bite takes a little time to declare itself. But others can declare themselves quite rapidly, and you can be in all sorts of strife. You can end up, depending on the snake, whether it thins your blood so you bleed, or it clots your blood so you end up with little clots all over you and multi-system failure, and in all sorts of trouble then.
Have we nearly finished this topic? It's not a very...
It's really important.
That's very important.
It's really important, particularly at this time of the year. So we're very aware of it. And just one other thing I want to highlight also, we had a patient come in the other day with heat stroke.
Really?
Yeah, been out walking, it was a warm day, and probably hadn't had enough to drink, and he was quite sick when he came in. So that's the other thing to be aware of in the summer months, because we do see a bit in the UCU, and the symptoms of heat stroke are very easy to detect. You feel a bit dizzy, a bit confused, got a headache. You can be quite thirsty, often nausea and vomiting, but the big hint is the muscle cramps. So,
okay.
Yeah. It's a pretty serious, can be life-threatening condition, so probably the best thing to do if you know, is get yourself to an urgent care unit or call an ambulance, and the quickest thing to do is cool the patient down, cool someone down, and just keep the skin moist and put a fan on, ice packs to all the important areas like the groin, the arm, under the arms, the groins, where the big vessels are. And, you know, for kids, it's pretty serious if they get heat strokes. So I just want everyone to be aware of that. And the best way to prevent it, of course, is to drink plenty of water, avoid alcohol, coffee, those sort of fluids which... have a diuretic effect, and just wear lightweight, loose and light coloured clothing.
Yeah.
And of course hats, sunblock, all that sort of stuff. So don't mess around with the sun, because it can be really, really bad. Please don't leave pets or children in cars on hot days. Keep up your energy levels by drinking lots of water. Yeah,
yes.
And keeping a carbohydrate intake up as well. So just a couple of things that we're kind of gearing up for in the UCU at Otway Health. And I think Joy's going to join you shortly to talk about our AGM,
absolutely.
Which was the other night.
Yep.
So that was all really good.
Nothing else from me, really.
No,
okay.
No,
all
except
right.
The physio's and there. When's the physio here? Let me have a quick look. Twice a week.
Yep.
Monday and Thursday. So if you want a physiotherapy appointment, just give us a ring on 5237 8500. And yeah, but it's all happening there, and yeah, we're getting busy now because the tourists are arriving, and so it's as I said, getting busy, and we're gearing up for the summer months. I'm quite looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah, well, it'll keep you amused, that's for sure. Ali Rodder, director of clinical services. That includes nursing.
Same thing,
of course.
Includes nursing. Yes, it does.
From Otway Health, thanks for popping by.
Oh, my pleasure,
we'll
Bob.
See you in a couple of weeks, or someone from Otway Health.
Someone from Otway Health,
and that'll probably be the last one for the year. Yeah, maybe.
Probably. Yeah. It's hard to believe this year is at an end, isn't
it? Just about disappeared. Yes.
Goodness me, that means I've been here nearly 9 months.
Wow. It's
God,
exciting.
So quickly.
We'll have to have a 12-month birthday party.
We will. We will indeed. So I'll see you next week.
Indeed. The Otway Health Check, right here on 3ABR. We'll have a little music and come back with Joy Humphreys from the board. This morning, we're chatting to Joy Humphreys. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning, Bob.
You're on the board. You're, in fact, the deputy chair.
I am the deputy chair. I'm a director of Otway Health.
Have you been one of those for a while?
I joined in July 2016.
Okay, so it's a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's been an AGM recently?
We did. We had our annual general meeting on the 30th of November, which we had in the casino room.
Okay.
Which I gather is a popular place in Apollo Bay.
It is,
Blade.
Yeah.
And it was a great place for us to have our AGM. We had, you know, the usual wonderful hospitality. And we had probably more than 50 people, I think, from the community attend. And I guess it was a typical AGM with the president's, the chairman's report and a CEO's report and opportunity to thank people for all the work that they do for Otway Health.
And did anyone fall asleep?
I didn't see anyone fall asleep. I was looking out for it, but no, I didn't see anyone fall asleep. I think there was a really nice warm feeling though, you know, and it was actually a warm evening, so we could have fallen asleep from the heat. But no, it was a really, in fact, we had a wonderful presenter come from Dementia Australia, who is Wendy Henderson. And she spoke to us about the Montessori program that we have initiated at Otway Health. And I think most people found that really, really interesting to think about different ways of working with and being with our elderly folk. So I don't think anyone slept through that, Bob. I think they were absolutely riveted because we're all pretty close to thinking about what do we need to be doing in our older age.
Yes, it's very challenging, isn't it? And of course, I'm not surprised there was a good turnout. There's been a lot of interest in Otway Health in the last year or two. Was anything kind of momentous or anything of interest to report from the meeting, do you think?
Look, Nick Salkett, who's our chair, he gave us the report of our finances, and that's been something that we've been thinking about on the board and working towards having a much better financial outcome than we've had for the last few years.
Because it's been challenging.
It's been really challenging.
For quite a few years, not just in the last little while.
Yeah.
The budget's been a bit of a monster to try and control.
That's right. We're challenged because we're a multi-purpose service, so we have to be really thoughtful about our funding, and we're also challenged because the nature of the kind of people that come to use our service. So we've done really, really well over the last year, and Nick presented that at the AGM, so we're really happy with the governance of that and the outcomes we've been able to achieve. And of course, we had Kate, our CEO, present about what she's seen over the last few months since she's joined the our service. And, you know, Kate's a pretty impressive CEO. She's also one of the top leaders in health in rural Victoria. So I think, again, the people that came to listen were really pleased to hear about the outcomes of the tea talks, what we've been able to achieve with the community by going out there and having conversations. And she talked about the themes that have come through with that. So I guess we've heard about those themes and seen them in the newsletter, but just to go through it again, we talked about the 24/7 urgent care and the changes we've made there. We talked about the Community Advisory Committee, of which I'm chair, and the outcomes we've been achieving there and the changes we've made. And we also talked about the culture and the work we've been doing through the People and Culture Committee and through the Staff Consultative Committee at Otway Health, and what that means for the staff who work there. So Kate gave us a really good overview of all of that. The other highlight, I guess, for me, Bob, was being the person that got to thank all the volunteers.
Oh, okay.
Which, yep. You know, it's an absolute delight, because we've got, I think, more than 100 volunteers, you know, providing all sorts of things to people at Otway Health. So that's a, you know, it's a real joy to be able to be with those people that are volunteering their time. I'm a volunteer as a director, but, you know, that we have got people that come and spend time with our residents, and they will do things like play games with them or play music or sit and tell stories and listen to them and interact with them. And we've got other volunteers. You know, we've got an award-winning gardening
team.
Yes,
the garden's exceptional. Yeah. It's a bit of a feature of Apollo Bay. We do have a volunteer culture. We do step up. And that's a wonderful thing. The occasionally challenging part of that is that we also take ownership of the things we volunteer for, and that means that, and this is where the tea talks and Kate has been very useful, it means that communication is really, really important because, as you know, in small places, you know, we've all played the game where you sit around and whisper something and it goes around the room. Misinformation can travel really quickly and take hold. So to be and the problems don't change. The challenges of the budget and whatever else is going on, they don't change.
No.
However, how they're being addressed and what's going on often changes in the telling, unless you keep going back to the source. And I guess the other fortunate thing is that is with Lawn such a successful hospital and service for that community, then Kate and our next door neighbour, then it's a very fortunate mix.
To have
Kate's expertise here.
It is, and we can we have made some changes about people feeling like they can get greater information, better information, feel more connected to Otway Health. For example, if anyone has any questions, any concerns at all, they can write straight to the Otway Health Board, which will be answered by an Otway Health person who is directly working to the board. And, of course, you can always write email into the Otway Health Community Advisory Committee.
Yep.
So if people do have any kind of questions or if they're confused about things, hopefully they feel like they can access that through our email addresses. And I think Kate is a real community person. You know, she's already shown that she's really interested in what's happening here at Apollo Bay, and she's somebody that is accessible. We found that at our AGM we were able to actually have quite a lot of time with the people that were there in the room talking about all the things that we've been doing, and we like to try and use those opportunities to actually give people the opportunity to, you know, to hear what is really going on. And we're constantly challenged, and things change quite quickly.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that we are really proud of is that we've got this wonderful relationship with the Health Foundation. They're continuous partners and continuous supporters with us.
Yep.
And I must mention, just while we're talking about all the exciting things that happened at the ADM.
Yep.
At Second Sales, our op shop, not only are those people sifting through all the donations and sorting through things, they are great salespeople. We worked out, and we were talking about this at the AGM, that since 2008, they have raised $1.6 million for Otway Health.
That's extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah, that is just extraordinary.
You talk about a volunteer community.
Mm.
And this year they donated $100,000 to Otway Health. So.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yep.
You know, I'd encourage people to keep bringing all their donated goods in there. But, you know, those women and men working there at Otway at the second sales must be wonderful salespeople.
Well, it's a minor. Well, perhaps not even a minor. It's a tourist attraction in itself. People, particularly folk from Fitzroy and Northcote and whatever, they say, "Oh, you've got to go to if you're going to Apollo Bay, you've got to go to Second Sales, grab yourself something interesting." Yes. Well, we get a lot of quality hand-me-downs.
Yes.
And I particularly enjoy the from time to time they get homemade preserves and jams and things,
yeah.
and a couple of cracker marmalades that I keep an eye out for. Yeah.
So you've got volunteers working to make your jam for you
occasionally, yes.
And you're supporting Otway Health in
indeed,
the process.
Indeed. Well, one way or another, I suppose we all support Otway Health,
yeah.
you know, and it supports the town. That's the way it goes. Because, well, if we haven't got reasonable health, one way or another, both services and in ourselves, then we don't got much.
I think, you know, one of the enjoyment, proud moment I have is working with a really competent board. We've got board members. Every one of us has got property here or lives here.
Mm.
And we're all donating our time, or our employers are giving us the time to come down and be here. But we're really committed to a viable, sustainable Otway Health.
Mm.
It's important for us to have that healthcare. It's important for us to be working on an integrated healthcare where we're looking at medical as well as allied health, as well as proactive health support and health promotion. So, you know, it's I think health is the thing that we all need, and we're all, you know, we all know, given our desire to be in this wonderful space where you've got good balance in your life and you've got fresh air and you've got the ocean so close, we also need to be thinking about how we can keep that for a long time and look after ourselves.
Yeah.
So not only are we on the board because we're interested in governance, but we're really, really interested in making sure that we're healthy and we're promoting health for the people around us as well.
Well, and I'm looking forward to maybe interviewing my namesake at some time or other.
Because
Rob Knowles was in fact partly responsible for the model that we use, wasn't he? That back in the day when he was Minister for Health.
Yes.
So that's of interest. So he really knows.
He knows it inside out.
How it all is meant to work, and the challenges that it faces.
Yeah.
But I want to. I'm amused because I think we've sorted it out now. But this is a classic example of communication. I think after he was appointed to the board, perhaps a dozen people stopped me in the street and congratulated me.
Ah.
and I've lived here for 14 years. So it's just, you know, just sometimes just a little bit of slightly incorrect information.
Yes.
Skews the view, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't heard him called Bob at all. I don't think
No, people call
Bob.
Him Rob. Yes,
but,
that's right.
It's great having him on the board, and with all the information that he has about health and all the decisions he's made and what he's privy to in terms of information. Of course, he's the chair of the Royal Children's Hospital Board
as
well.
Yeah.
So we are extremely fortunate to have him on our board and have that information available to us.
Mm.
You know, and he also has a great sense of humour. So
indeed.
I'd encourage you to interview him.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
Because we're very lucky
to
have him in our midst. He's here living in Apollo Bay. So,
you
know, it's great to have him on our board.
Mm. Well, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Bob.
It's been delightful to chat and to know that the whole Otway Health culture is great and improving.
It's a wonderful place to be. Thanks very much for the interview.
No problem. It's my pleasure. Joy Humphries, she's on the board at Otway Health.